Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of May, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were quietly steady for the most part. European stock markets were strong, with the DAX closing up nearly 2.5%. The Americas were firm, led by Wall Street, with the NASDAQ up over 2%, the S&P up 1.37%. That's taken the S&P back to 1,171.67. Elsewhere, the bond prices for bunds, and particularly gilts, were firmer today. U.S. Treasury bond prices were a little bit easier, but this is quiet activity overall. We had more action in the precious metal markets. Gold hit a new high in U.S. dollars, reached a high of $1,248.82. But did close $10 off that high, still up over five on the day. Silver had romped up to 1973.5 before settling at 1953.5. And platinum was arguably the star of the day. That rallied. It's currently trading in after hours at $1,744.70. It had been $9 higher at its peak, but it's still up $43.90 as I speak. Now, in industrial metals, we had a quieter day, mixed overall, and the U.S. dollar was generally steady, particularly against the pound, which eased after an early rally. And the dollar is a bit stronger than the yen. But we have seen the greenback give up a good chunk, the major portion of its spike upwards that occurred last Thursday and Friday during the market drama on Wall Street. The dollar had spiked upwards at that time, as had the yen, and both those currencies have given up most of those gains. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, the environment remains nervous. That's due to a considerable amount of volatility and some very bearish technical action from the China A-share markets, which are now which are in downtrends and beneath the declining 200-day moving average. Now, the Chinese indices or share representing the shares that most of the rest of us who are not citizens of the PRC deal in, the H shares and the Hong Kong HSI index, those are steadier, but they're very much range bound and on the lower side of those ranges right now. So they're testing, you could say they're testing support levels within those ranges and are certainly underperforming the U.S. market here currently. And that's been the case for a while, as you know. That China leash effect remains negative generally for Asia, and I think that's a contributing factor to the current underperformance that we are seeing there. Is that serious? Does that mean end game for Fuller Money themes in this cycle? I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't want to be complacent about risks, but aside from the China A shares, we're talking about stock markets that remain, aside from the China-related areas, and they're important, as I've already indicated, in terms of the China leash effect, but the other Asian stock markets remain very much in overall upward trends and above their rising 200-day moving averages. A pause in consolidation, a period of underperformance, would hardly be surprising, and that's what we've got right now. But I don't assume that we're into the end game here at this stage. Now, I would also not assume that we are in the end game without deterioration on Wall Street. Last Thursday's sell-off was certainly alarming, and shows that there's something wrong with the structure of that market, and almost certainly related to the high-frequency algorithmic trading systems that have been such a fashion on Wall Street. The latest accident waiting to happen, created by the banks. And I think it's very good, very positive thing that that the spotlight is on that form of trading. And I personally would like to see it restrained, at least until it can be properly regulated, and that's clearly not the case today. So that remains a concern, and certainly it was a shock to see that swan dive that Wall Street took on Thursday, but it did bounce back, of course, and it's strong right now. It would be surprising if the S&P 500 index did not encounter some resistance as it approaches that small rollover top that we saw back last month, in the middle of last month. And veteran chart readers will recognize that the type of volatility that we've seen recently is often reminiscent of top formation development. Now, I would not prejudge that for Wall Street for the following reasons. First, the S&P and the other U.S. indices have rebounded sharply from that sell-off last Thursday and are therefore above their still rising 200-day moving averages. What I think is extremely important is the fact that all the monetary indicators for the U.S. market remain highly positive. Short-term interest rates are extremely low. Long-term interest rates remain historically low. The dollar is steady in here, and that's a benign to bullish outlook overall. Now, that doesn't mean that events can't weigh on Wall Street, and no doubt Euroland's problems were a contributing factor to the weakness that we saw prior to last Thursday's brief meltdown. But the European problems are now off the front page as a result of that big bailout package that we have seen. Now, it doesn't take too much understanding of the economics to appreciate that all Europe has done is piled up more debt via its quantitative easing. And the debt problem, the sovereign debt problem, certainly is not resolved, but it has been contained for the time being. And so investors, as I mentioned during that crisis, say that it would only remain a heavy influence on the market while the crisis was perceived to be deteriorating. And once they brought out the package on Monday, all that changed. So that's, as I say, very much a waning influence here right now. And there can always be exogenous shocks, but I'm not aware of any new event that is that could have a similar effect on Wall Street. But if I'm wrong on that, then the evidence would be a move back down, a retest of last Thursday's lows. A partial retest, partial retracement of the bounce back would not worry me too much, but certainly a retest, let alone a break of last Thursday's intraday lows on Wall Street, would be quite bearish. But we don't have that at the moment, and we may not have it at all, or not for quite some time. So I would be inclined, and I am very inclined, to give the sideways to higher ranging hypothesis the benefit of the doubt. Moving on to other markets, this gold story is really very interesting. Gold is appreciating against all currencies, although it's not at new all-time highs against all currencies, but it did break to a new all-time high against the US dollar, which has been generally firm for several months, and gold is outperforming the Dow once again, and it is well into new high ground against the weaker currencies. So weigh all that up, and what it indicates is that gold, while not an official currency, is the international store of value of choice. And I think that's really quite important. I'll review gold technically tomorrow in comment of the day. I was planning to do it this afternoon, but ran out of time. Now, platinum and palladium and silver all remain in form. As a matter of fact, silver has had a stunning move here, rallying up to nearly $20. And silver has been in this broad, erratic trading range for really quite some time. But I do feel that there's a chance that we will see another surge to the upside before this medium-term upside move ends. Now, veteran subscribers will remember that since identifying and fortunately anticipating, since we anticipated the breakout last September following the long consolidation in gold prices, that on the basis of the moves that we had seen to the upside following similar breakouts in September 2007 and also September 2005, that my outlook for bullion was that we would see a rally to at least the $1,300 to $1,400 region. Now, we're getting late in terms of the seasonal factors for gold, but it's very much in form, and it could easily reach those levels in the next few weeks. I see no evidence to the contrary. It would take another very clear downward dynamic to interrupt this upward trend, but meanwhile, I would give it the benefit of the doubt. It seems to be that precious metals are winding up for another move to the upside, and this is being confirmed by a considerable improvement in relative strength for gold mining companies as well. That's really very interesting. Now, among other commodities, crude oil continues to lag in here. It's 75.53 as I speak. That's down a little bit today. That's good news for the global economy, but not the oil bulls. Oil, however, does remain in an overall ranging uptrend, albeit a gradual overall ranging uptrend. But while it remains to the left side of that rising 200-day moving average, and while crude oil continues to show a progression of higher reaction lows, I am, of course, going to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. The key point is that it's a laggard, and that makes it less interesting to me in terms of a trading vehicle, but it makes it very interesting in terms of other markets and the global economy, because oil is not cheap at this price, but it is not so expensive that it is creating a headwind, and it is $10 or so off its recent high. Interesting times, and I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.